my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. I give my all to you. Everything I am and all that I long to be, I bring my will to you and I lay it down at your nail-scarred feet. It is yours and no longer mine. Lord, take my life. My voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with words of truth from thee, filled with words of truth from thee. I give my all to you, everything I am. And all that I long to be, I bring my will to you, and I lay it down at your nail-scarred feet. It is yours and no longer mine, so Lord, take my life. Take my will. Shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy loyal throne. I bring my all to you.
If you have your Bibles with you here this morning, if you could take them and turn to the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, we will look in Joshua here in just a moment. When I was a kid, I wanted to be famous. I don't know if any of you were like that, but I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be on TV. And my own little mind, my way my mind worked as a kid, I would dream that there was like a door on the side of the TV that I could just open the door and you guys, back in my day, there were sides of TVs. They weren't like this. But you can climb in the door and you could be on TV and everybody could see you. And that was my dream as a kid. When I was real little, my mom would watch Cubs games and I'd tell her, I'm going to be on TV and you're going to watch me play for the Cubs. I remember going out in the front yard and playing basketball, and I would be shooting baskets and I would be dreaming of, you know, making the game-winning shot. And then when I missed, I was fouled. And so I got to go to the free throw line and hit the game-winning free throws. If I missed those, went to overtime, and eventually I hit the game-winning shot. Or I would sit in the yard and play baseball and want to hit the game-winning home run in the World Series. When I was young, I had a tape recorder that had a microphone, and I used to sing into the tape recorder, and you guys know how bad that must have sounded. But I sing the tape recorder and would dream about someday being this famous musician, which is crazy because music is not my thing. But we have these dreams. Even when I first started ministry, when I was in college and I was doing youth ministry, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a youth evangelist, and I'm going to travel the world and speak to teenagers. And then God had something, you know, different planned. In serving our God, there are people that are famous, There are people that get to do things that we would consider great, great things. There are some people that serve and they get to be in front of people. And everybody sees what they do when they're recognized. But most people who serve do it in the background. Most people who serve do things faithfully. And nobody really knows what they do, but they just do it to remain faithful. Now, there are some people who don't serve because they're not recognized. And if they don't get recognized, they choose to not do anything because they crave that recognition. We're going to look at today about a man by the name of Caleb. And Caleb was a man that really, if you read through the Bible, we don't hear a whole lot about him, but he was a great man who faithfully served God. You may have heard of Caleb. He was one of the spies that was sent by Moses to survey the Promised Land. He was one of two, along with Joshua, in favor of conquering the land. In spite of the obstacles facing him, he was a man that demonstrated faith in God, and his actions showed that faith. One of only two adults, along with Joshua, who left Egypt and entered the Promised Land. In Numbers, one of the passages I read earlier, it says this about Caleb. It says, in Numbers 14, verse 24, it says, "But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he has entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it." And then a little while later in verses 36 through 38, it says, "And for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land, even those men who brought out the very bad report of the land died by a plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive out of those men who went out to spy the land." So we know a lot about Joshua. Joshua has a whole book written about him. He became a great leader, led the Israelites into the Promised Land. We even have songs about Joshua. Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. And I'd sing it for you, but you don't want that. But he was a great, great leader. And then we have Caleb, a man that we don't know nearly as much about. He was a man who simply had the audacity to believe that God made a promise and God was going to fulfill the promise. Even when he couldn't see it happen, even though it was far off in the future, he faithfully served God, living like God's promises were going to be true. And he did that faithfully for 45 years and brings us to the point in Joshua we're going to read about right now. Caleb lived a faithful life. In Joshua 14, beginning in verse 6, we read these words. "Then the sons of Judah grew nearer to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord has spoken to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spot the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land in which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years, in the time that the Lord spoke these words to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken.' So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war." So what made Caleb so faithful? First thing we see here is he was faithful because he served God. In verse 7, it says that he brought back word to him as it was in his heart. Deep down in Caleb's heart, he served God. He had confidence in what he knew to be true. and there was no wavering from the truth. When he went and saw the land, he saw it differently. And he knew because of his walk with God, because of his relationship with God, because who he was in God, that he knew that God was going to be faithful. And he knew that that was true. And nothing could turn him from that truth. Not the other 10 spies as they said something different. Not the grumbling Israelites who said there's no way you can do this. Nothing turned him from that truth. Have you ever held on to something so deeply that you just knew in your heart and nothing was going to waver you from that truth? That was Caleb in his service to God. It was deeply ingrained into who he was. He was so close to God, there was no question that God was going to do what God said. And he had that in his heart, and then he also served God with his actions. Do something. Others feared, but Caleb believed. When he looked at the promised land, the other spies saw giants. They saw these great men, and they said, these are men we can't defeat. But not Caleb. Caleb saw a defeated enemy. Others saw obstacles. They were great fortified cities. How can we take these great obstacles before us? But Caleb didn't see obstacles. He saw opportunity. He saw something that he knew God was going to do. Others feared the unknown. What will happen if we go there? How is it going to turn out? They feared the unknown, but Caleb looked forward to what God had for the future. Do you know people? Are you people that are so crippled by the fear of the unknown that they don't do anything? They're so afraid what the future might be that we don't make a decision? That we're afraid to move forward, not sure what God will do or what God will not do? Caleb was those guys that had that confidence that God was going to carry through into the future and do what he said. Caleb was one of those guys that thought, hey, let's do that. You know, you have that person. You ever been around that person that you'll be, you know, maybe hiking and there's a great big hill and you're looking at it and you're like, maybe you should climb that. And the other guy, let's do it. You know that guy? Everybody else says, well, that's kind of dumb. No, we're going to go do that. That's great. All right, that's Caleb. Caleb is the let's do it guy. Caleb's the guy that looks and says, hey, there are things happening around us. Now, I'm not sure what God's doing in this. But God said that he's going to fulfill his promise. Let's just go do it. And he goes forward 100% and excited about what God's going to do and excited that he can join God in that. You know, what about us? Are we people who focus on the obstacles we face? Or are we focused on the faithfulness of God as we serve him? Are we ready to move forward and seize opportunities to do what God has called us to do? You see, Caleb trusted God. In verse 9 through 11, we see a little bit. It's about Caleb trusting God. Trusting God, moving forward with God, there is great opportunity in that. You know, we all know that sin has consequences. If you read back in Joshua a little further, you see some consequences of sin. You have the story of the Israelites go into battle, and God says that you can take nothing from the battle. You can't take anything with you. And there's a man by the name of Achan, and Achan decided that there was some pretty neat stuff in the city. So he takes stuff that he wasn't supposed to take, and he hides it. And the Israelites go back into battle again, and they get defeated. And nobody really says, what happened? God let us be defeated. And they find out that Achan's sin caused the defeat. And there are consequences of sin. And just as there are consequences of sin, there is reward in faithfulness. Just as sin has consequences, following God and being faithful has reward. Some people get the idea that it's the amount of prayer that we do that gives us success. But if you read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you find out that it's not just by praying that gives us success, but it's by faith. Some people think that if you just work hard enough, you're going to have success. If you just do enough stuff and you just put forth enough energy, then things are going to be okay and you're going to have success. And just working hard enough isn't going to give us success. You see, we need to pray, but we need to pray in faith. We need to pray knowing that God is going to do something. We need to serve, we need to do something, and we need to work hard, but we do that in faith, knowing that as we work, we have a God who's working alongside us, and we trust God with the results of what we're doing. We have faith in him. See, Caleb trusted God to fulfill his promises. In verse 10, it says, now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. From the time the Lord spoke the word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I'm 85 years old today. So throughout the battles, Caleb lived. 45 years, he kept serving God, and God kept fulfilling his promise to Caleb. Even though the inheritance was far off and yet to come, Caleb counted every single day of service as a blessing. He was given two promises. First, he was promised that he'd live a long time. And second, he was promised he would receive an inheritance. And Caleb lived his life trusting that those promises were going to be true. Do we trust God to fulfill the desires of his promises in our life? You know, how much are we willing to sacrifice in our life to see that happen? I bet most of us wouldn't wait 45 years to see God's faithfulness come true. See, we don't want to wait any time at all. We live in a right now time, right? Right? I mean, we live in a time where the greatest invention was the microwave oven. All right? And so when I was a kid, we had a microwave, and I was an older kid. I remember our first microwave, and it turned a dial, and then you had to sit, and you, like, counted, and you get, like, the last 10 seconds, we would count down 10, 9, 8, right? So that was then. Now we live in a time where we just like to push one button and get the immediate start, and then we'll put something in for 30 seconds. And at 28 seconds, we hit stop and take it out because we can't wait the extra 2 seconds for it to finish. We want stuff to happen now. All right, that's the way that we live. Caleb trusted God these 45 years, knowing that God had a plan for his future. So here we are 45 years later, and Caleb says, I am 85 years old today. And look at verse 11. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me out. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war, for going out, and for coming in. 85 years old. And Caleb says, I'm still as strong as I was in the days of Moses. He was 40 years old then. Okay? I turned 48 in just over a week. And I'm not as strong as I was when I was 40. All right? My shoulders hurt. I got a bad knee. My back hurts. I'm a little overweight. You know, I'm looking back and I wouldn't say I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. And here Caleb says, I'm 85 years old, but I'm still good. I can still do this. But think about Caleb. He was looking forward to what was next. He wasn't worried about what happened behind. He had more experience. He had more wisdom. He had learned great lessons. And he was willing to move on and say, what is next in my life? See, Caleb knew God had future plans for him, and he was willing to take that next step. See, Caleb had a history of serving God. He knew God could be trusted, and he was willing to continue going where God was going. You know, our ministry doesn't end. It just changes. If we're really serving God, we're walking with God faithfully, things in life may change, and our directions change, but service to God doesn't come to an end. We need to be willing to continue going where God is doing and know that God is going to continue to work. Caleb knew the future wasn't going to be easy. In verse 12, he says, now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you have heard on that day that the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Caleb looks and he says, look, here's the city that's promised. We have been all these battles all these years, but there's still one more battle to go. And I'm willing to go into that battle and claim the promises that God had for me. And if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out. And I picture 85-year-old Caleb gathering up some of his family and saying, we're going to go do this. Joshua, don't worry about it. We're going to go, and we're going to take this land that God has given to me. He knew the future wasn't going to be easy. He knew that it required work, but he knew it was in God's hands. Our future, serving God. You know, things aren't always easy. Hopefully you know that. You know, life's not always easy. Life's not always fair. Things in the future may require hard work. It may require effort. But we know that God has plans, and we must be willing to walk with him. There is great reward in faithful service. God gave Caleb the power to conquer the land, and his promise was fulfilled. The promise he was given 45 years later, Caleb sees it happen. But he didn't rest on what had been accomplished in the past. He was willing to follow God in the future. This is pretty much what we know about Caleb. We know that Caleb was willing at some point before they left Egypt. He was a faithful follower of God because he was chosen to be one of the spies. We know that after that time, as they wandered the wilderness, that Caleb continued to be a faithful follower of God. We know that in the time when they entered the promised land and they fought these battles, that Caleb continued to be a faithful follower of God. We know that he enters into his land of his inheritance, and we don't have anything else about Caleb, but I promise you he continued to be a faithful follower of God. Did you notice as we read through some of these passages in Numbers chapter 14:24 and in Joshua verse 8 here in chapter 14 and verse 9 and verse 14, there were some words that described Caleb. It says that he followed God fully. We need to follow God fully in whatever God has for us to do. You know, like I said, most of us don't get to do great things. Several years ago, I went down to Denver to watch a Cubs-Rockies game. I went with two people that had never been to a Major League Baseball game before, so we got there way early. We were one of the first people to enter the park. And as we got into the park, we were just kind of walking around, taking things in. And I'm one of those people, I like to just people watch a little bit and kind of watch what happens around me. And as I was watching, I noticed as the game was, things were getting ready, there was the grounds crew was on the field, and they were getting things ready, and they were watering the dirt and getting stuff ready. And there were people setting up all the stuff around, and people were working, and all these behind-the-scenes things that people were doing. And then for 3 hours, we watched a baseball game, a pretty entertaining game until the end when the Cubs lost, but that's a whole different story. And then because these two guys had never been to a game before, we just hung around for a long time. In fact, they've actually made us leave the stadium. They told us it was time to go home. But we were walking, but as I was watching, you know, there were, that same grounds crew was out there getting the field ready for the next day and rolling the tarp out. And there were guys and ladies that were walking up in the aisles picking up trash and cleaning up the stadium, and there were people, all the stuff that happened so that this Major League Baseball game could happen. You know, in church, it takes people to serve to make things happen. You know, we have church service here for about 4 hours on a Sunday morning, a couple hours on a Wednesday night, and for a lot of us, that's what we see about church. But there are some things that we don't see. And when you leave here today, and we walk out these doors, these great children that came up for the children's message are going to leave some papers and some crayons and some stuff laying around, the wrappers and the Smarties I gave them. And if you come back in a couple days, that stuff's not there because somebody cleans the church. There is somebody who does that. You know, we come here on a Wednesday for Bible study, and some of us come from work, and there is a meal prepared for us because somebody took the time to make that meal. After that meal is over, if you show up here on Thursday, there's no dirty dishes in the sink. The tables are wiped down. Things are put away because somebody does that. You know, we have the words on the screens to the songs that we sing, and we have the announcements on because somebody takes the time to do that. Here in the next few months, we're going to show up here, and there's going to be snow on the ground. And the parking lot is going to be plowed, and the walks are going to be shoveled because somebody does that. You know, we have music that is great, and because there are people that come, and musicians and our singers, and they put forth the time and the effort. We have great Sunday school classes because we have teachers that spend time preparing and studying lessons to teach Sunday school. And I'm missing so many things because there are stuff that happens in this church that I don't even know what happens. Because there are people who are faithful and they serve because they love God, and it's what they're supposed to do. And man, I'm so thankful for those people. And I know I'm leaving lots of people out, but I'm so grateful for a church that loves the Lord and serves Him. Are we the willing to do that? To serve God and to be like Caleb? It says they followed God fully. As we come to our time of invitation, our time of decision here this morning, our praise team is going to come and they're going to lead us in the closing songs. Let me ask you the question, you know, what about you? Are you content in your serving where you're at with God in your life? Are you content with what God would have for you? Are you looking forward to the future of what God would have next for you? Are you willing to be a person who comes and says, God, I will do whatever I need to do to serve you, knowing that I can trust you and rely on you? And then at the end of your days, when somebody talks about your life, will they say, you followed God fully?
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way.